Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. We would like to welcome back some old friends of the program. They're not that old. They're young. But they were on the show a number of years ago. It's been a while since we have heard from Echo Smith. I believe this is album number 3 that just came out on the 28th of July. And the album is called Echo Smith. So you decided to title your new album after your band name. And I guess there's got to be a reason for that. So we welcome Echo Smith to the show, and we're going to find out from Noah, Graham, and Sydney, the Sirota family. And so tell us about the new album. Why did you decide this time around you're going to call it Echo Smith?
Well, we felt like self-titled felt very fitting for the season that we're in right now, which, you know, I could go on and on about, but this new album is self-produced. Noah produced it and I helped with production. And we also brought in our brother, who was originally in the band with us on the production side for several songs as well. Most songs are written by just us, which is a first for us. And it just feels like this album is the perfect invitation for our listeners, whether they've been listening to us since Cool Kids came out or they're new to the Echo Smith family. It's an invitation for them to get to know each of us better as a family, as a band, as people. And, you know, we threw out a lot of album title names and nothing felt right until we came up with the idea of we should do self-titled. And a lot of our favorite bands have done that over the years, whether it's their first album, their third or fifth. Sometimes people do it twice, and it felt like it was a really great time to do that.
How did you come up with the name Echo Smith for your band?
We came up with it a long time ago, but our mom actually came up with the idea. We were talking about the idea of blacksmiths and goldsmiths, people shaping things, and she was like, oh, what if you did Echo Smith? Like, that's, you know, shaping sound. So it's kind of what we as a band do, and it's kind of stuck.
Have you guys always performed together? I mean, your siblings, have you always been a band together?
We started the band when I was 9. I'm 26 now. So we're 17 years into doing this as siblings. But I will say before that, and even in between, like in the first couple years, Noah was off in a band with some friends, I think with our other brother too.
Yeah.
And Graham and I weren't invited. So anyways, this is the band that is last. And I remember being very offended when that was happening. I was like, we have a band already, you don't need to do another one. But you know, everyone has to go off and do their things to find what they really want to do, right? So here we are 17 years later.
Well, you know, congratulations on the new music, on the new album. It's a very personal album, I understand, and it deals with a lot of very personal subject matter. One of the songs on the new album, I think, touch on your marriage. You know, since the last time we met, you fell in love and got married. So tell me about, you know, the songs on the new album and why are they so personal?
Yeah, well, we really took a different approach on this album with our writing. And it was more just taking everything that we've done like 10 steps further, because we've always been pretty honest with our lyrics. But as we've gotten to know ourselves better, there's been obviously more to talk about and we've lived more life. So yeah, I'm married. I'm 4 years into that. Noah's been married for 5 years. And obviously there's been a lot of life changes along the way. So there's been a lot more to cover. And now I would say this is for sure the most transparent we've ever been about our marriages, about our family dynamics, about even just the growing pains that we've had to go through as a family and a family band, and just personal growth. So, you know, I do talk about on one of the songs we're going to play with you guys today, it's called Sour. That is very much kind of like my little baby. And it's about my husband and I going through a really hard season of being long distance on literally opposite sides of the country for 6 months, because he's a pilot and he was out there and I was in California on tour. And anyways, that song very much takes you on that journey with me of the fears that come along with that and the frustrations and kind of having the epiphany of, okay, what is the most important? It's obviously us being together and doing whatever it takes to make that happen. And you're on that whole journey with me during that song.
So you said the song's your baby. Do you have plans for babies? I mean, do you want to have babies?
That's a good question. I for sure want to, and so does my husband. So we're, you know, it's not happening tomorrow, but I don't think that we're...
You look pretty different.
If it was tomorrow, yeah, I'd be kind of surprised.
Well, practice makes perfect, so, you know.
So, yeah, it'll definitely be in our, you know, near future-ish for sure, because I love
We've got Echo Smith with us here on the show today, and I assume you guys are at home, in a home setting there?
Yes, this is the dining room at our Pasadena home, and Noah lives like 10 minutes away up in Altadena. So, yeah, we're hanging out, true LA kids.
Well, we're going to talk more about the changes and the new album, but first, would you do a song for us?
Yes, we're going to play Sour for you guys.
All right, Sour, here are Echo Smith, and this is Border Crossings. Crossings. The song is called Sour. It is the first single off of the new album, which is called Echo Smith, just like the band that are sitting there with us today. So you wrote that song about a long distance struggles with your husband at the time. Are you seeing him more now, or are there still struggles?
I'm happy to report that he is now a pilot based in Burbank. So that is where we both live, and we live in the same state again. So, you know, I do see him a lot more now, although we've been pretty busy with album stuff ourselves. So it's always a balancing act, trying to make sure that you're giving the care and attention to the things that need it, like your relationships, which are always more important than your career, in my opinion. But also pouring your heart and soul into your music too. So it's definitely a balancing act, but we're in a much, you know, easier place now that we live in the same, you know, under the same roof.
How did the songwriting change on this album from when you started? Because when you were starting, you had a major label and they were, I'm sure they were very controlling, and, you know, they hired producers who you may not have agreed with and things like that early on. So how does the writing change when you get total control?
Yeah, I think the writing really has significantly changed. And I think a lot of ways our writing now kind of resembles, in a way, how our writing first started when we were just like little kids. I remember writing our first song in our backyard and we were just like talking about this idea. It's just very conversational. And now it feels like most of our songs are written just by us, like as a band. We have a few other collaborators we've brought in to co-write with for other songs, but most of them really are just us. And now it really, like, every song starts as a conversation, starts as a dialogue between us siblings and as friends, and then it becomes a song. Sometimes a song comes out, like, you know, even Sour. That one, like, wasn't planned. We didn't know we were going to be writing a song, but Sydney and I were talking about how she was feeling. She was frustrated. I was just being a sounding board for her, and then we're like, yeah, maybe we should write a song. Maybe this is a good moment, too. So I think because of that, the songs do feel a lot more, I'd say, intimate than they ever have before. And I think that's really beautiful. It's really special.
And you produced the album.
I did. Yeah. We, as Cindy mentioned, like, we have great collaborators that we've brought in, but I got to kind of take the wheel for this one, which was a lot of fun.
Did you guys, I mean, how do you work things out when you don't agree on things? I mean, you're siblings, so that it's kind of got to be... Is there a process? Is there one person who gets the final say? How does Equismith go about it?
It's always an arm wrestle.
Yeah.
we usually like the approach of voting on things, but then ultimately still trying to do whatever we could to compromise for maybe the one person who wasn't in love with that idea or maybe even that song.
I don't think we ever choose to do something that one person feels really uncomfortable with. So at the end of the day, like, it's important that all of us feel really, like, passionate about what we're doing. Of course, sometimes it's like, I like this picture more than this one, or this color more than this one. You know, like, that's something where, like, the voting and the process really comes in handy. But at the end of the day, like, we're all humans that have our own, like, thoughts and feelings and stuff, and we all have to make sure that we're honoring each other in that process. So I think, like, as we've grown up, we've gotten a lot better at it, to the point where, like, we don't really have to deal with that very often. And if it is, it's usually something pretty tiny, like someone liking a font more for... you know, the back of a CD.
And so do each one of you write songs for the group, or is there one principal songwriter for the group?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, it sort of changes every song. Of course, because I'm the singer, naturally, I want to feel the most comfortable saying whatever the words are, even if that means that sometimes a song is more about Grant or more about what Noah's going through. Of course, there, it just naturally is going to be a lot that comes from my mind and my life, because I'm the one that has to put words to it and sing it every day. But yeah, it's very collaborative. And like Noah said, a lot of times, most of our songs will start on a phone call between us. Because for a long time, we were all living in different places. And now I live back in LA, but Graham's still up in Idaho. So he's super far away. And we're, you know, trying to make it all work as much as we can virtually, and then do as much as we can when we're together in person, like we are today, which is yes, because it means we get to do, you know, a little performance with all three of us, which doesn't happen every day. So this feels like a special occasion, actually. But, you know, obviously, because we're in album release mode, we're, you know, trying to get as much time together as possible. And, you know, maybe we'll write another song, even though an album just came out. I don't know. Because that's just how songwriting works. It just sort of flows out of you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you three together on the show. You know, the last time you were here was a number of years ago, as I mentioned at the beginning. I have your poster on the wall next to my office, so it's been hanging there. People always say, Equismith, I love Equismith, you know. So obviously, everybody knows you. Now, you re-released a new version of Cool Kids.
Yes. We did.
What made you decide to re-release it, and what makes it different than the original?
So Cool Kids, our version, is the new one that we made in the second half of last year. And it all really started because we saw that Cool Kids was coming back thanks to TikTok and then, of course, Instagram. And, of course, then it started to reflect even just to what people were listening to on Spotify and Apple Music and all that. So there was sort of this obvious thing happening of, okay, this song is having a little bit of a comeback. And then it became a lot of bit of a comeback, which was so wonderful. And we were really grateful for that because we were already in the album making process. So we were already in the studio pretty much every day as this was happening and playing some shows. And as this was really bubbling up, we were just hanging out and talking about it. And of course, really excited about it, but also talking about the song itself and where it came from and what it sounds like now and how much we've changed. And it really made us ask ourselves, how are we different from when we wrote that song now 10 plus years ago? And do we have anything else to say about it? Because we're going to be singing this song the rest of our lives, and I'm totally happy with that. But anyway, we really asked ourselves if we had anything else to say, and we were already in the studio, like I said, with our new sound and having a lot of fun with the new music, and we just sort of wrote this new bridge for Cool Kids, and the vocal that you hear in the recording is the quick little, I mean, just demo in the moment vocal of me holding the mic, singing those lyrics, and, you know, kind of on the verge of tears because of just what this journey has been and what it's meant to us. And we ended up recording the whole thing and showed a sneak peek online, and people seemed to like it. And it turns out that one actually took off more on TikTok, which was great. So we had a lot of fun with it, and it was a really great, you know, transition into the new music because it really shows where we are now in 2023 now, and what this new album feels like. So it all felt very fitting and really tied into each other.
So Graham, since you're the talkative one, I wanted to ask what changed in the sound of Echosmith, if anything? Has anything changed in your development, your progression to where you are today?
I think how it changed is more like atmosphere vibe.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it got more, had more of a feel to it.
It feels a little more, I don't know. I mean, your drums also are so different, I think.
Yeah, so different compared to the first album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have some fun fills.
Oh yeah, fun fills.
Yeah.
Were you guys ready for the fame that came so early for you? I mean, that put a bunch of pressure on you right out of the shoot. You've had million selling hits already, Bright and Cool Kids and quite a few others. You have toured with some major acts. You have collaborated with other major acts. So, you know, where you are today, are you feeling pressure?
I mean, I think at this point, there's less pressure than before. I think when it first, you know, our first record came out 10 years ago in about a few months, October. And when we first put that out, like, it was a slow growth to, like, what Cool Kids and those other songs became, and obviously songs that came out later, too. And I think initially, like, it was really hard. Like, okay, like, where's our place in this industry? Where's our place in this, like, world that we're stepping into? Because it was really new when we were super young. And still, like, we're still figuring a lot of things out. You know, we're only on our third record. But still, like, we are, I feel like, a lot more grounded than before. I think we've experienced a lot more life, I would call it like real life, since then. And that obviously shapes you in a lot of ways. And I think because of that, we've chosen to kind of take a step back in our writing, saying, like, you know, asking ourselves, like, what are we writing for? What are these stories for? What are we writing about? And because of that, a lot of that pressure and the feeling of like the need to replicate what happened before has gone away. At the end of the day, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to now, I think, just focus on, let's make music, let's make art that really means something to us, in the hopes that, like, that can mean something to other people.
Right. Stay true to your craft. I love it. I love it. And so the Echosmith group, do you have fans that have a certain name? Have you named your fan group?
Over the years, people have thrown different things out there, especially when we first were on tour and stuff. It's very popular to have, you know, a fan name. So we never actually like claimed one, but people started to call themselves, like, there was one that was called Echo Homies, which I thought was really cute. But honestly, what I use now, because I feel like it's such a really cool family dynamic, is I really just call our fans our family. And, you know, I'll thank people. I'll be like, hey, thank you for being part of the Echosmith family, whether they're really new to it or not. I think it's really this family feel. I mean, these are my brothers. And I think that we're really inviting everyone into that with us through these songs and the vulnerability. So I really just call everyone, you know, the Echosmith fam, the Echosmith family. But there's nothing like super official, but that's what I've been saying. So
I guess that's great. That's a great idea and a great approach too. So I'm going to ask you to do another song. Got a lot more to talk about with you, but let's hear some music. What are you going to do next?
All right. The next song we're going to do is off of the new album. And this one is actually Graham's favorite.
Oh, yes.
The song is Perfect Light.
Why is it your favorite, Graham?
The drums are so sick on it. There's so many drum fills on it.
Yeah, it has like a really, the perfect feel.
Oh, thanks.
And what's it called?
Perfect Light.
Perfect Light. Here are Echosmith on Border Crossings. That's called Perfect Light. It's Echosmith. The album is Echosmith, and they are together today on the show, joining us from their home in California. And I wanted to ask you guys, in as far as being on stage with Taylor Swift, how did that come about?
She just asked us to come play with her on the 1989 tour, and of course we said yes. And I think that when somebody, I don't remember who reached out, but I think somebody reached out to our management and asked if we wanted to join and sing Cool Kids. And we're like, yes, of course. And I think they gave us a couple cities and asked which ones worked with our schedule. And I think we did one of the opening nights potentially and somewhere in Philadelphia. Yeah, and that was awesome. And then the second time we did it, I just went up like very last minute because we were both playing in Columbus, Ohio, and we were on tour with 21 Pilots. And I texted her, I was like, oh my gosh, we're both here right now. How funny. And she's like, no way, do you want to come sing Cool Kids again? And I was like, sure, I'll just rush out after we play our set. And she's like, are you cool with Pyro? And I was like, yeah. And there were like, you know, little sparklers and, you know, a bunch of fire. Awesome. So that one was a lot more casual, but we already had rehearsed, you know, a couple weeks prior and it was awesome. So yeah, what an experience and really cool to hear that many people sing these lyrics that we wrote in our bedroom so many years ago back to us.
It's nice that Sydney Sirota is besties now with Taylor Swift and they're just texting back and forth. Hey, hey girl. Hey girl. Glad to have you on the show. And with a billion streams, can you imagine that you would ever be associated with a number that big, a billion of anything? That's amazing.
A B. I mean, I don't even think I even comprehend really what that number means now, let alone when we first started. It's such a cool gift that that's even associated with our name in any way, especially because it means that our songs were listened to that many times. I mean, that's a really cool reason to have the name Billion attached to you. Of course, a lot of people are like, I want to be a billionaire. I don't even know what I would do if I was at that level. You know what I mean? That's so beyond. But I think it's really, really special because it means so much that it's connected to our music and people connecting to it. So I think it's pretty mind-blowing. And I don't even know if it's really, you know, been comprehended by me because it's so out there. And unexpected, but I mean, I'm so grateful for it.
How did COVID affect you guys? Everybody in the music industry had to shut down, obviously, and couldn't do what you had to do, your normal thing. But how did you guys handle that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for us, like the first part of it was kind of waiting for it to end. And then we all kind of got to the point where we're like, okay, this isn't ending as fast as we all hoped. You know, like a couple weeks was a lot longer than a couple weeks. But I think for us, like we really got to kind of take that time to ask a lot of questions. Obviously, like we were wondering, like, okay, are we going to be able to keep doing music? You know, it felt like the entire industry was halted. And so we had to have that, like, I don't want to call it like an identity crisis, but I think a lot of ways, like our identities were kind of like tethered to our career. And I think we kind of had to be confronted by that reality in that time and ask ourselves, like, okay, who are we if this never happened again? If we never got to have another song that people loved, if we never got to play another show, who are we? I think we got to ask those questions, and then that led to, I'd say, kind of as we talked about, like a new kind of writing that even though it felt similar to what we first started with, like it felt richer and deeper than ever before, because I think at that time, we were being more honest with ourselves. We were being more honest with our experiences, and I think what because we were able to open ourselves up in that way, our writing got that much better. I think, again, like it really recalibrated who we were as people, but also like what we wanted to do with our career and what we wanted to chase. Again, we can't guarantee massive commercial success. We can't guarantee a crap ton of money flowing in from, you know, huge songs, but we can make sure that we write music that means something to our story, music that feels important. We can't dictate whether or not that's important to other people, but we can at least try to be honest with ourselves and honest through our music and see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. Have you done much international touring? I'd imagine you hear a lot from your worldwide fan base because a billion people, that covers more than America, you know. But so I'm sure you're hearing from other parts of the world. We're broadcasting in 100 countries right now. Tell me about international tour plans and past and future.
Yeah, we've been really lucky, and we've been able to go international a lot. We did a really fun tour in Asia years ago now, so we're definitely due to come back. And we went to Europe even just 1 year. I think we went 7 times in the span of a year, which was crazy. And we're actually coming back to Europe this fall and the UK, and we're so excited about it because we literally have not played a headline show, done a headline tour in Europe or the UK in 8 years, which has just completely flown by. I know that the past couple of years feel like they you know, we're such a whirlwind anyways, but already it had been too long. So we really made it a priority this year to come back overseas and bring this album, this show, the new show that we've made based off of the new songs overseas, and see our friends out there. Because we have a lot of people we talk to on Instagram and stuff that live in the Netherlands or they live in London. And these people that have been asking us to come back for so long, and we're so happy to say that we actually are. And the tickets are actually on sale now. So if you want to get tickets wherever you are, echosmith.com has them all, along with like VIP meet and greets, so we can actually give you a hug and all that. So we're actually coming back, and I'm so happy we get to say that instead of "we hope to come back soon," because that was true. But now it's official. We will be there in November, and we can't wait, because I think we'll actually be doing Thanksgiving out there, because our last show is the day before Thanksgiving. So we're going international for that month, which will be really fun.
That's fantastic. So it must feel really rewarding to you when you're on stage in a foreign country where they don't speak English as a first language, but they know the words to your songs. They sing along to the lyrics. I can't imagine that feeling as an artist performing.
It's a crazy feeling. And I think the first time I was really blown away by that was probably in Jakarta. That was actually still one of our biggest headline shows we've ever done. And it was our first time there, and it was a sold out room. So many people were there, and they were so excited, and they were singing along to not just Cool Kids and Bright, but so many songs. And I was just blown away. Also, because of course, you know, I wish we knew more languages, you know, and learned more and got better at it, you know, in our childhood and stuff. I'm working on it now. But I'm already so impressed by people who have English as a second language, because it's, I mean, you wouldn't even know. But I was just blown away to be in a place for the very first time, and they were singing so many of the words, and it wasn't their first language. I mean, it was just this trifecta of beauty. It was so cool. So I love when that happens, and it makes you really realize that music transcends all things, even if somebody might not be super fluent in English. They know their favorite songs.
Yes, absolutely. And songs are always connected with memories. And I know that people around the world, they react differently to songs. I mean, you go to Japan and they listen closely, but they're much less, you know, boisterous. Whereas if you go to other countries, you know, they might be more, the Philippines, people would go crazy, and they're not hesitant to show you how much love they have for you guys if you've had a chance to play in the Philippines. But we have Sydney, Noah, and Graham on. They are Echosmith, and the new album is called Echosmith, and they're going out on tour, and you have to check out echosmith.com. Is that the website?
That's it.
Nice. Echosmith. Yeah, nice and easy. You're going to do another song for us?
Yes, our last song for you guys, we're going to button it up with Cool Kids, Our Version, which is our new version of Cool Kids that really takes what we learned from the past and really puts the new Echosmith in it. And I'm excited to play it for you guys.
All right. Echosmith and Cool Kids, Our Version, here on Border Crossings. Crossings, that's Cool Kids, our version, the 2023 version of a song that was a number one hit and a multi-platinum selling song a number of years ago, let's say more than 10. But nonetheless, we're glad to have you with us here. We've got Echo Smith in our presence, although we're long distance. But nonetheless, it's nice to reconnect with you guys after all these years. Now, you have collaborated with other artists. You know, Taylor Swift, you were on stage, you sang a song with her. You've worked with other artists as well. I want to know what your three wish list collaborations would be, and they're dead or alive. Three people you'd like to collaborate with.
Beethoven, you know?
He's dang. Good. Okay. Wow. Reaching for the stars over here.
Let's make it happen.
I mean, we're going crazy. Yeah, I think that Coldplay would be awesome. Graham, do you want to throw
Paul McCartney.
Okay. Paul McCartney, Coldplay, and Beethoven, and Echo Smith, all in one song. Well, you can just sing Beethoven, maybe.
You could put the hologram of Beethoven on and do that in a show. But the other guys, Paul McCartney and Coldplay, I think they can come in person. Coldplay, one of my favorites as well. I think you mentioned you loved Coldplay when you were here 10 years ago, that you were a fan then too.
We've seen through to who we are, I guess.
Yes, loyal, loyal, loyal. The Sirota family, they are known as Echo Smith around the world. And before you go, before end the interview, I wanted to give you a chance to say hello to the worldwide audience, which includes the U.S. troops. So if you'd like to say hello, we'd love to give you a chance to say something.
Yes, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're just grateful that you took time out of your day to hang out with us virtually. And, you know, grateful for your time and also grateful for your service to our U.S. troops. We love you guys so much. And we actually are lucky enough to play shows at the AFE pretty often now, and we're actually coming out to, I don't know if we know the exact cities quite yet, but in 2 weeks, we're coming out there and hanging out in Italy and I think Germany and somewhere else.
Spain
potentially. So we love any opportunity to hang out with you guys face to face, and thank you for your time and your service. It really does mean the world to us. So anytime we get to hang out with you guys, we always say yes. And that's what we did last year, and that's what we're doing again this summer. And if we're not coming to where you're based, hopefully we will soon. So we love you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Well, I really appreciate you guys being on the show today. It is great to have Echo Smith back. I love your music. I love your sound. And I'm excited about the new album and the tour. Check it out, echosmith.com. It's your one stop for everything. If you want to get tour tickets, if you want to buy the new music, it's available at echosmith.com. Thank you guys for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Great to see you again. Hopefully we'll see you in person and give you a fresh new poster soon.
Yes, I would love that. That would be great. I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay.
Sydney, Noah, and Graham, they are Echo Smith, and they are with us today. My name is Larry London. Thanks for watching. This is Border Crossings on VOA TV.